5, Kevin Foster side 5. Just Tommy, you're in the Legion. Could you map out the actual postings you had in the Legion?
Right, so I started off in Castle Norbury, which is a Legion training camp. From there, I went to Corsica, Calvi in Corsica, the Legion Parachute Regiment. From Corsica, I went back to France for about a week to Auban. Then I flew overseas to Djibouti, Northeast Africa, where I spent 2 years. I then came back from Djibouti. I went to the Cesium Reg, which is based in Loudun, near Avignon in France. I was there for 3 months, and I went overseas again to Chad this time in Central Africa. Came back from Central Africa, back to Loudun. I was there for 8 months, I think it was. Back to Auban, and then I was discharged from the Legion.
Right. Okay. End of tour. End of contract. How long? How did you find the training at Castle Nordry compared to what you thought it might be?
The training for me was hard. I'd been a matlow for 8.5 years. Now, I did keep fit in the Navy, and I'd actually started doing it again just prior to joining the Legion. So I had a reasonable standard of fitness, whereas some people found it hard coming from whatever, you know, different jobs, service duty, whatever, and then joined the Legion. But, I mean, the Legion said when we got there, it doesn't matter if you're not fit, because the Legion will get you fit. And they did. I mean, in that time we was there, we was well fit, we were.
Mm. What did you find the hardest?
Out of the whole 5 years?
No, out of the basic training.
I think it was the language problem, really.
Really?
Because, I mean, it took me about a year and a half before I could have a decent conversation with somebody in French. Whereas I know some blokes who picked it up straight away, yet other blokes I know who spent 5 years, and their French is still atrocious. Mm-hmm. So I think it was the language barrier was the main bit, trying to learn the French.
What was the attitude of the French towards the Brits and the Legion?
The attitude was the French are better than anybody else. And it was always the same standard argument used to have. I mean, the Brits were great for, like, ripping into the French. My standard argument was, if a Frenchman said to me, if the British Army is so good, why did he join the Legion? And I say, because the British Army was too hard. And they weren't too impressed with that one. But the French think they're above everybody. But from what I can remember, the common denominator in the Legion was everybody hated the French anyway. So it was everybody against the French.
What percentage of French were there in the Legion?
There was, I would say, at least 30%
right.
of the Legion was French.
Okay, and what sort of group, who did you consider to be, you know, Brits? Who fell into, and you've got English speakers.
Yeah, the Brits. If you were English, Irish, Scottish or Welsh, American, Canadian, Australian, New Zealand, mm-hmm. anybody like that, automatically came under Brits.
How did the Brits get on with the Australians and the Americans, for instance?
There was no problem at all. Mm. There was only 2 Americans I've ever known who were real pains, they were totally ignored, really.
Really. Mm. What about people like Indians, Ghanaians, and that sort of thing?
Indians, I've only ever met one Pakistani in the Legion.
Yeah.
But he had a few blacks.
Yeah.
One of them was from I met him in the 13th DBLE, and he was from Reunion, Little Reunion. He actually was in the same room as me, Marius, and he was a good lad. And when I went to the Cesium Reg, there was a coloured guy there, and he was from Sri Lanka, and he spoke English anyway, so he was no problems to get on with.
But what I'm saying is that people who came from French-speaking areas were French. But, I mean, there are many areas, some of which might be slightly obscure, for instance, South Africa or something like that, where they speak English.
Yeah. Well, we had a bloke there in the rep, when I joined the rep. He was actually in training with me, and he was from Guadeloupe. Mm. And he was an albino. Mm. And he joined the Legion from, like, Guadeloupe. But he said he was like By birth, Guadeloupean, but as it's a French colony, the class is French as well, for some obscure reason.
Okay, there are no people who suddenly, from being Ghanaian or I suppose the Sri Lankan, came into the British fold because he spoke English.
No, not really.
No, not really, not at all, I see.
No.
Right. So where was your first posting after that, then?
Well, the first posting I was trained was the Parachute Regiment.
And that you wanted to go to that, did you?
No, I didn't want to go there at all.
Why?
When I was doing my training, during the training session, I was told by an English lad on his corporal's course, he said to me, he says, if the Legion asks you to be a volunteer, say yes. Because if you say you're not a volunteer, it goes against you. So when I actually finished my training, I finished 10th on the course, out of 54 on the training. And the top 10 recruits, they get the choice of regiments. Now I went into this office, was it like a big horseshoe-shaped table, all these officers sitting behind it. And this colonel said to me, are you a volunteer for the rep? Now I remember what this lad said, if they ask you to be a volunteer, I say yes. So I says, yes, I'm a volunteer for the rep. And I didn't, I wanted to go to French Guiana, Trois-Marie to start with. So they sort of said, done. And I was. I was sent off to the rep.
And I
didn't enjoy that at all.
The rep?
No, I couldn't. I hated it.
Why?
I was in the support company. I was 20 mil gun sections. And I had a sergeant there called Courvoisier who hated my gun. Well, he hated anybody who was English, basically.
He was French?
He was French, and he made my life a misery. Or he tried to. But I had a guardian angel in one of the other sergeants, a French sergeant called Pouille, who always looked after us. And he was actually seen at the Courvoisier. So Courvoisier couldn't give me as much grief as he wanted to. And then it actually come to the stage. I volunteered for overseas because they said there was too many people in the company and I wanted volunteers to go overseas. So I volunteered to go to the 13th DBLA in Djibouti. And then they actually marked me down to go to Morora, which is near Tahiti, the 5th Regiment Mixed Pacific, or as it was called at the time. And just before I was due to leave, I got into a bit of trouble in town with a couple of other Brit Legionnaires.
Okay. Let's take it one bit at a time. You finished 10th, which must be pretty good. Who were the better nationalities in the training in Castle Mowdry? If indeed they fell into any categories.
The first...
Who came in the first 10?
The first three was... they actually said they were Canadians. A lot of French do that. They say the Canadians get in the Legion, so I'm pretty much certain that it was the three French lads who come first. The first Brit was 8th, I don't know that much. I was 10th, I was the second Brit.
Right.
But in between there was a German, somewhere along the line, and a Turk. Mm-hmm. He did it quite well as well.
How did the Brits get on with the Turk? The Germans.
We got on quite well with the Germans, actually.
Yeah.
I've discovered in the 5 years I was in the Legion that the Germans and the British didn't have the same mentality. And there was never really any problems between them. When I was in the rep, there was a fight between a British guy, John Duckmanton, and some German. And it was only because the German had grasped John Duckmanton up for doing something. So John gave him a good hiding. But I think that was any real problem I've ever seen between the British and the Germans in the Legion.
Okay. What about bullying and so forth during the basic training?
There wasn't so much bullying going on.
Hard discipline.
Discipline was hard.
In what way?
But I mean, especially drill wise, uniform wise, they would always just tell you the first part of discipline is uniform. If you've got a sloppy uniform, you're a sloppy soldier, and therefore your discipline's no good. So you've got to be well turned out at all times. But I mean, seeing that in the training area at the time, we go and exercise. You come back covered in mud, and it was winter time when we did it, remember? So you come back wet, covered in mud, and they say to her, don't bother about cleaning your stuff. Just put the same stuff back on tomorrow, because you're doing exactly the same thing. So in that way, it saved you a lot of work doing things, but actually, your dress uniform, parade uniform, have to be immaculate at all times. Because you're not allowed to wear civvies unless you've got 5 years service. So you have to go out in your uniform and it has to be immaculate. You get inspected when he goes. If it's not good enough. they'll send you back or they'll put you in the nick.
Okay. And what sort of punishments were there?
Punishment was called consignia, which was equivalent to the Royal Navy's number 9 punishment, working in your spare time and whatever. Or it was that, or you went to the nick. End of story. There's basically the two of them.
Consignia means confined to barracks, presumably.
Yeah, sort of thing.
Yeah. And what about... And in the nick, what was the regime there?
Different regiments had their own type thing. I mean, a parachute regiment was always PT first thing in the morning. We had to do a Bergen run one time with pebbles, small rocks in the back of it. And that was a 8 kilometre run around twice around the DZ. Or they did 22 laps around the old 400 metre track in combat for a punishment one time.
How many times?
22 laps, which is equivalent to about 8 kilometres.
5 miles, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of it was just basic hard drafting, pickaxe and shovel work. Oh. And that was it. Vast majority of the work in Legion prisons.
Oh, yeah, was some more whacking people and so forth? Or
you got blokes getting punched, but I mean, it was only if they cocked up or they'd done something wrong.
Like?
Say you give a bit of lip to somebody. Or you weren't doing enough work, you weren't working hard enough. Then they give you a smack to make it work a bit harder.
Or just round the side of the...
Yeah, or you might get a punch or something.
Yeah.
But when I was in training, they actually got paired off with a French speaker. He's called your binom. And when you go on parade, you have to be there with your binom at the same time. If your binom's late, he gets a punch for being late. And you get a punch because you should have made sure that he was there to start with.
Who is the binom? Is he a qualified soldier or?
He's the same as you are. He's a recruit, but okay. He's also a French speaker to teach you help improve your French.
Right, but would he speak English as well?
No, not really. I was looking one sense because the first binom I beat him up because I was getting punched by him because of him.
Who was he?
He was a guy called Duca. He was actually Corsican. So I got rid of that one. Then I said, right. I told him the problem, what it was, why I hit him. I'll give him a good kicking. And this is all right. So they give me another binom. And he was with the same.
Well, what was their attitude that you're giving him a good kicking?
Sort of a help, I'm getting beaten up by a madman.
Oh, no. I mean that.
The Legion's attitude was there, well, all right, fair enough.
But did they object to the fact that you had duffed him over?
No, not at all. And training wise, they actually encourage you.
To beat each other up?
Not so much beat each other up, but be aggressive, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And
how?
Well, at the time I was in training, I had a scrap with one of the corporals, and that was in my second week there in training. I beat up two binoms, and I actually ended up as a trinom. There's three of them. Because you have a binom is by name, two people, one name you work under. But I had a trinom, and it was sort of one person was my binom, and the third person was there to make sure I didn't beat that one up. And everything you did, sport-wise, was all aggressive sports. You go for runs, or you do sparring-type things. You know, all sorts of different things.
But you've been a done well in boxing in the Navy.
Well, I was a boxer when I was in the Navy anyway.
Hmm.
So things like that didn't bother me in the slightest. But when I put my story across, right, I'm sick of getting whacked. For these idiots not turn up on time, or he's done something wrong and I'm getting hit for it. And I said, no, that's right, I should be getting hit for it. So then they said, all right, we'll give you another binom. And when I beat the second one up, then that's when they put us in the trinom.
Was that common?
I think
trinoms?
I was the only one to have a trinom, actually, or part of a trinom. But it actually worked out well for me in the final exams. Because when you're doing your final tests for your exams, I'd let these two blokes do it first. And like, for instance, the LRSC rocket launcher. Part of the test was set up the anti-tank rocket launcher for firing. So the guy did it, put it on his shoulder, put the rocket bit onto the end, and then the sergeant said, fire. So he clicked it, and the sergeant says, failed. And I was watching, I thought, oh, what the hell has he done wrong? So then the next one went up, the next part of the tree, he went up there, he did exactly the same. And then I suddenly clicked, they'd forgot to take the back cover off from the rocket. So when I come to my turn, he says, fire. So I took it off, threw it away, then fired it. He went 20 out of 20. So watching these two make up their mistakes helped me through the final part of the exams.
Right. And so you went to Calvi in Corsica for the Desiem rep with the parachutists, yeah. And what was the reception you got there?
First thing we did was we got off the truck with all the kit. And you had to get your kit on your shoulder, and you ran around the camp, and they'd say, right, this is the foyer, this is third company, this is fourth company.
Oh yeah, you did and that. You at the double with your kit.
Yeah, with all your kit, and you run around us there, pointing everything out to you.
Yeah.
And then you actually get the far end of the camp where the promo is. Your promotion is where you start your parachute training. And we actually had a week before we start with parachute training. So virtually every day, every morning was runs up the mountains.
Hmm.
And well, we thought we were fit when we left training, but we realised how much lacking in fitness we actually were when we got the parachute regiment, because they were a hell of a lot fitter. And that, when we got there, the parachute regiment was away in Chad. The whole regiment was away. You only had, I think you had one company behind, which was your CCS, which is all your clerks and things like that. And all the new recruits were actually put into one company, which was called the GP, or the Group Mount to Perfection Mount. And you did exercises, parachute jumps, and it was basically just passing the same way until the regiment got back. And then once the regiment got back, then we all got split up and sent to the various companies.
Yeah. But you, when did you do your paratraining?
I did that in the end of April, beginning of May.
Right, but that was before this.
Yeah, that was just before the promo, the group mentioned the GP.
Okay, how do you find the paratraining?
Paratraining was it was enjoyable. But everywhere you went with all the kit, you had to run back and forwards all the time. Now, there's a mate of mine who was actually a TA para beforehand, and he told me there's a standard training in the Legion is a hell of a lot better than the British Army.
Why did he say that?
Because I learned the parachute jumps in the British Army. He said they took me 2 weeks of just learning how to do parachute rolls, so jumping off boxes onto mats and rolling. Whereas in the Legion, we do something like a quarter of an hour every afternoon. And that would be it. That would be training on parachute rolls. Rather than spend 2 whole weeks of continuous rolling, you do 15 minutes an afternoon and you get on with the main part of it. And it was enjoyable. I really enjoyed that I did.
Mm. So what did you do your first jump in?
I did all my jumps in the Transall.
Okay.
Was due to do the first one at Calvi, but the weather was too rough. Oh, there was too much wind, so they flew to Borgo over the other side of Corsica, and we would do all the jumps from there. Then once we got the Brevi, after your Brevi as your wings, after 6 jumps, we flew back to Calvi, and the weather was even worse by this time. But they said, "So what? They've got the wings now. Out they go." And then that was a pretty rough jump that was, but I'd done a couple of worse ones after that. I actually did a total of 23 jumps with the Legion when I was out there. But like I said, I did a year in the parachute regiment, then I went overseas. Mm. So, in
it, so you, what did you like though? You didn't like the posting you'd been given then?
No, not at all.
Did you? What did you make of the people there? Well, and what made it? What did you not like about it then?
Oh, I don't really.
You like the parachute jumps?
The jumps was no problem. Mm. I didn't mind that. But it was just like the pettiness of some of the seniors there, the sergeants and chief sergeants.
Like what?
And they'd pick faults for no reason at all. You'd have a weapons inspection, all your weapon laid out in your bed. I mean, most regiments do this anyway, Legion regiments. And for instance, I had to lay part of my rifle out on a bed, and it was on top of the blanket. So there was a bit of fluff of the blanket got onto my rifle barrel. So then I was told I had to do the whole weapon again because it wasn't clean because of a bit of fluff that came off a blanket, which I was told to put in the first place. And it was just pettiness and childishness on behalf of these sergeants and things.
Mm.
And things like that just got on me nerves.
Mm. What sort of nationalities were these senior NCOs?
The ones we had were all French.
Mm.
We actually did the one who made me do the rifle again, his name was Braga. And we did an exercise in France. It was just before I left the regiment. I flew back 2 weeks before everybody else because I had to get my kit ready for going to Africa. In fact, I was supposed to go to Tahiti, but it wasn't because until I did that, got into trouble in town, that they changed it from Tahiti to 13th.
Right. So you're talking about these punch-ups and so, but did you have punch-ups in the Navy?
Oh, Quite a few, actually.
Did you?
Yeah, well, different places. Mm. But usually that was with, like, if you went somewhere with the Navy and the Army was there, then it was normally between the Army and the Navy that you'd have all these punch-ups and things.
Any, what particular ones in the Navy? I mean, were you on board ship or anything?
You never had any fighting amongst the lads on board the ship.
All right. So you'd done, how long was that in the rep?
A year.
A year.
It was a year. I got there in April and I left the following April.
Right, and so what, you put in your papers? Or how did it work? You put in your papers or you applied for transfer?
Well, I'd actually volunteered to go overseas to start with.
All right.
But because I caused that trouble, like, they changed the regiment from 5th to the 13th.
Right, but you applied for a transfer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And while your transfer was being processed and you thought you were going to go to the 5th in Tahiti, you got into a punch-up.
Yeah, that was just about a week before I was due to leave.
Right. What was that? How did that happen? Or?
Well, it wasn't so much of a punch-up, really. It was the lads had come back from this exercise, and I was given 15 days leave before I was due to go to Africa. And I couldn't go over, out of Calvi. And you've got to, in the citadel in Calvi, there's a hotel-type thing for Legionnaires on permission or leave. And I was up there. And two more Brits came up. That was Cookson and another guy, I can't remember his name. And Cookson was in the Falklands as well. He was in the Paras in the Falklands. And he bought an air rifle out in town.
Who, pardon?
He bought an air rifle from a shop in town.
Yeah.
Started shooting at the windows in Calvi with this. And now I was shooting at the top of this roof from the window of this hotel I was staying in. And Cookson popped the window out, and the woman complained. And Cookson grasped me up and said it was me who had done it. Well, he got put in jail. And then they came back and got me off leave and took me back in the camp and put me in jail as well.
Right.
But I got smacked around by the Dussian Bureau, or the Gestapo, as we used to call them.
With the Dussian Bureau is who?
The Gestapo, they're in charge of security.
Right. But is that the regimental police?
Yeah, they're in charge of everything, camp security and everything.
But
that's much like military police.
Police, militaire.
Yeah, well, it's similar, but you'll have a couple of officers who run it.
But is it actually called the Dussian Bureau?
Dussian Bureau, it's called, yeah.
Right. And that's they're more of a sort of intelligence corps security type.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, field security more than police.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you say slap you around?
Yeah, well, Cookson came into the office. They brought him in. Now, they've been shouting at me and punching me around the office saying I was the one who shut the windows out. They called Cookson in, not a mark on him. This is who shut the windows out? And he said, him. I mean, I can understand if you've been tortured or something like this, but he just comes straight up with it. And I thought, well, you're the roughy toughy para from the Falklands. And he grasped me up just like that, without even getting a single slap. And I thought, well, cheers, mate.
So what happened to him out later?
Well, he got put in nick anyway at the same time as me. And then I was taken out to prison to go overseas.
Mm. Is that the end of a beautiful friendship?
I've never seen him since.
Have you not? Were you looking for him?
No, I've seen pictures of him in a book. It was that book called Excursion to Hell.
I don't know.
One of the paras wrote it.
Right.
And Cookson's in a few of the.
Rank was he in the paras?
He was a corporal, but his name was Connery when he was in the paras.
All right.
So they changed my name from Foster to Ferguson in the Legion when I joined.
Right. They made you do that.
Well, they just told me what they came up one day and says, "Where's Ferguson?" And we all said, "Don't know any Ferguson." And I said, his name's Ferguson, he used to be called Foster. I said, my name's Foster. And then I said, come with us. And I says, right, there you are. Tore off a bit of paper, wrote down Alan Ferguson. That's your new name, don't forget it. And after that, I was Alan Ferguson in the Legion.
Where is that, because you're a deserter?
From the Navy, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But were all the others nom de guerre, changed names?
Not all of them, no.
No.
Now, a mate of mine, Andy Hodges, he deserted from the 9 Squad and Power Engineers, and he kept the same name.
Right.
Ready to join exactly the same time as me.
Mm. Had you communicated with your family at all?
I wasn't allowed to until my third week in training.
Right.
Which would be in the November time, and then I wrote them a letter.
And what do they make of, you're in the Navy, and you're gone and dipped out of the Navy. I mean,
well,
they couldn't have been entirely happy about this.
Yeah, well, my older sister, Doreen, she actually wrote a letter to the Oban, to the Legionnaire quarters. Some sob story letter about you'll have to send him home and all this, he's deserted from the Navy, cry, cry, cry type thing. And I never actually seen the letter until when I was leaving the Legion, they showed me this letter five years afterwards. And he says, well, there you are, it's yours now. So I screwed it up in my bone, threw it in the bin.
Oh, really? And what did they make of that you'd dipped out from the Navy then? At home?
My mother was a bit worried. My oldest brother, I'd phoned him up from the training camp after I wrote my letter. And he said, well, are you convinced you can stick it out? He says, that's fine.
Were they cross with you?
No, not really. No. There was a great deal I could do by then.
No. So what sort of age were you by now? What age were you then?
I was 24 when I joined. I was coming to my 25th birthday.
When you joined the Legion?
When I joined the Legion.
Yeah. So you had to go to the 13th DBLE.
Yeah, I got sent to the 13th DBLE.
In Djibouti. And, about actually going there, what did you feel about that?
I was looking forward to it.
Really?
There was a couple of lads from the rep who had already gone out there. And I was looking forward to see them. Actually, I got off the plane at the airport. We got a coach from the airport into the camp. When we got to the camp, it was all fallen on this prayer ground. And I was standing at the back. And I felt a nudge in the back. And I looked round and it was one of the lads, Brannigan, with a nice cold bottle of beer in his hand. Shook my hand, welcome to Djibouti. Oh, cheers, mate. So that was my first day. It was night time, I couldn't see much. It was dark, pitch black. But the first thing I got was a nice cold bottle of beer shoved up my hand from one of the lads.
Okay.
So it was well worth it.
What did you make of Djibouti? You know, you got out of a, what sort of plane was it? You got out of a plane, and then you what?
The first thing I remember was the smell.
Yeah.
It hit me.
Like what?
No, I think it's Africa itself. It's got this particular smell, and I remember it from Mombasa. And it was the same smell. And years later, when I went to Chad, it was there again, and it was like a feeling of, oh, yeah, I'm back in Africa again. Yeah. And I've always liked being out there. So it was like the smell first hit me when I first got there, and it was like an old thing that I used to, like.
Yeah.
So it was, the place wasn't nothing impressive.
Mm.
There was not a great deal there.
What were your duties there, then?
Well, I actually got sent to the third company, which is classed as a discipline company, punishment company.
Because you were on punishment?
Yeah, because I'd been kicked out the rep.
Mm.
When I actually got there, there were 17 Brits in the whole regiment. And when I left 2 years later, there was over 120. And almost 60 of them were in the discipline company. So it was quite a few we had there.
Really?
But I went to the third company, first section, which was... each section had their own speciality. First section was destructor, or sabotage. Second section was amphibious. Third was sniper. And then the common law section was mortars, and then you had the clerks and things out of that as well. And I went to the first section.
So you were sabotage demolitions?
Yeah, but I mean, I got there in the April, and we had this adjutant, Italian, who was in charge.
Adjutant was sergeant major?
Yeah, type thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Or it was, I think it's called WO2, basically.
In theory.
Yeah, yeah. And he was in charge of the section, and he was a real pain, he was. But he left. He died. He got run over.
No, really?
By a truck. He came off his motorbike and a truck ran over his head. And
you don't sound like you're sorry about that.
I wasn't. Didn't bother me the slightest. Because I was actually a guard at a munition dump called Duda. That was his actual name, Duda. And I was just coming off relief off guard. And he had to get a truck to take the relief from because it was so big. And as I was jumping off the back of the truck, I remember watching him going out the gate on his motorbike.
And that was the last.
And I was saying, I think to myself, I wish he'd fall off that thing and kill his son himself. He didn't get no further than 200 yards up the road, come off his bike and a lorry ran over his head. So I thought, oh yes, I've got a death curse here. So he died, then we got a lieutenant arrived called Jean-Louis Lemay. And he was from the French army, he made his way from the ranks, from the private of the French army, up to a lieutenant, and he went to the Legion. And we also had a chief sergeant there called Renard, or the Fox. And he was another pain in the backside. And Jean-Louis got rid of him straight away. And after that, we had a good section. We used to do rally competitions, like rally group, rally section, with the regiments. And we were always first, second and third in the whole regiment, our groups we used to put in. Mm. You'd have orienteering, shooting, you name it, all the military skills, and we were always the first.
A rally is a military skills competition, really, is it?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
I spent all the time running around the desert, doing all these different...
Stands,
things, yeah.
Really, okay. And what was for entertainment in Djibouti or elsewhere?
You had a cinema there, which was basically a big white wall.
Oh.
and rows of chairs. That was your cinema. You had a bar there, which closed at 9:30 every night. Well, it's the same with every Legion bar. They close at 9:30 at night.
Why is that?
It's so they don't encourage alcoholism, which is a total waste of time because the lads just grab a crate of beer and go over the room and sit in the room and drink it over there. Yeah. But out in Africa, you also had a brothel there as well.
Mm. What was that like?
That was a good brothel, but you had 9 prostitutes, or Nayas as they were known, and you had a whole regiment. But the senior NCOs had their own
separate.
They weren't allowed in yours. You could go in as a guest, invited in.
Now who ran that?
You had a chief corporal who ran it.
And he was the brothel manager, basically.
He was 2 years, and basically his job was a pimp. After 3 months, the Nayas would change round, and his job was to go around the town recruiting new Nayas to do takeover.
Was this a sought-after job?
You had to be a chief corporal to do it.
Yeah.
But you were guaranteed. You didn't have to wear a uniform. You didn't go out in exercise. You were given a car by the regiment to drive around in to go pimping on town. And he obviously made a hell of a lot of profit from his beer takings and things like that. Because he was left to his own devices.
Yeah. Plus...
Well, he actually lived in the brothel as well. So there was he must have had a good time in there.
Yeah. And what about medical supervision?